So Maria Rush is back blogging again. Maria, how are you getting on? Good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're looking great.
Oh, you're looking fabulous as well, Greg.
Thank you very much. I think you're right.
We're getting there.
No, we're talking about compliments. Let's test you. Bree Carr, you know Bree.
Yes.
Congratulations, Maria, Queen of Compliments. Totally deserves recognition for her hard work and positivity. She's been proactive for as long as I've known her, and I'm delighted her blog is going from strength to strength. Well done, Maria.
Wow. Thank you very much. From one queen to another then, she's just as amazing herself.
Seeing as we were talking about compliments. So, on your latest blog, you frame it so I don't misframe it.
I actually wrote this about 6 years ago, this particular piece. I have been trying to get back into writing again. We've spoken about this before. I had taken a bit of a break, I suppose, with my job change and stuff over the last 2 years. And the last few months I've set myself a target of writing again every day. So on Thursday or Friday last week, I actually went through my memories, and this one came up as a memory. And I thought, wow, that's still relevant. So I just tweaked a wee bit and posted it again. But the reaction to it has been so much bigger this time than the first time around. I think a lot of people are agreeing completely that we're not very good at taking compliments. And I think, I suppose I write this from the point of view of being a mommy, and being aware that my daughters are listening to me when I answer compliments. There's no right or wrong way of
doing it. So what are our quirks then? I mean, what are the indicators that we're not good at taking compliments?
I think it's a humility thing. Like, people will... We automatically go straight to self-deprecating, oh God, no, this whole thing. Or, even there, joking aside, when you come in, oh, your top's lovely. Oh God, I've had this for ages. Because if you answer with, well, actually, I saved up for 3 weeks or 3 months to buy that because I really liked it and I worked really hard, people will look at you as if to say, what are you on about? I think it's a cultural thing for us. We're not very good at taking compliments. We tend to see people who accept compliments as perhaps being big-headed or overly confident. And then there's that fine line between confidence and arrogance.
How do you accept a compliment, though?
Well, I think the main
just say
is
thank
just thank you. You know, thank you very much.
Oh,
acknowledge it. You know, oh, thanks a million. Yeah, I try hard. Or, yeah thank
so
you.
So you give some examples. I love your top. Yeah, Penny's Best.
Yeah, Penny's Best. Oh, we all say it. Penny's Best or Dunn Stores. Or, it's like you nearly have to... I think we're so afraid of being evaluated negatively by the person who's given the compliment. But as I say in the piece, if someone gives you a compliment and they mean it, if you answer positively and they judge you for that, they didn't mean the compliment. It's a two-sided thing.
Yeah, is that a Hilfiger shirt? Oh, it was on sale. The funny thing is the flip side, what I noticed about it, because, when you're at a function or something, whatever, people might go, oh, lovely dress, and you get that reaction, right, that you talk of. But then people started... shopping in charity shops or secondhand shops, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, €5, can you believe it? So when it genuinely was bought really cheap, people will scream it from the rooftops, presumably because they think it makes them, well, firstly, they've done something good, right? But because they think that's more societally acceptable than I paid 400 quid for a dress.
Yeah. And it is societal norms, isn't it? It's what's in vogue at the time. And I don't just mean in the sense of fashion. What's cool at the moment? What is it okay to say? And I think we're living in a world at the moment where social media is so... You nearly can't say that you like apples for fear of being accused of being mean to the pears. So when it comes to this kind of thing, I'm not going to say that coat cost me €300 because people will say, oh, isn't it good for you? Well, actually, I work 90 hours a week and I've treated myself to that coat. So I think we were all brought up to be humble and to be... Not to brag, not to boast. And that's right. That's the way we should be. Nobody wants to listen to someone bragging about how well they've done about something. But I do think there's a fine line between being aware of your achievements and being able to accept them and acknowledge them and give yourself the credit due for whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And completely degrading yourself when someone gives you the compliment.
Yeah. So, and as well too about personal growth and confidence and happiness, right? So this could just be it's a minor thing, isn't it really?
Yeah.
But it could be symptomatic of how we view ourselves or our place in the world. And then of course, as you said, our little children around us are sponges, right? So they really effectively copy everything that we do.
They do.
And when you speak to people about history and we talk about it on this show, sort of the way we are, you can trace it back like hundreds of years and where it come from and where it started. But that's something we also have to persist in the way we are.
No, I think it's important to, especially with children around, to teach them that it's okay to acknowledge their strengths. It's okay to acknowledge their, you know, I use the example of my 8-year-old who, if I tell her she's beautiful, she every day will answer with, I know. Mm-hmm. That gives me such joy, you know, because it's going to come to a point soon where she won't answer like that.
And when does that happen? And what's the influence?
I think I see it already with the older girl. I think once social media is introduced, once they go into a certain point of school, as a former teacher, I've dealt with this for years as well. I used to teach SPHE, and one of the activities I used to do with the groups, and they used to laugh at me when I would say, right, it's compliment day. But every one of them would have left the room 40 minutes later feeling great, because the simplicity of passing on a compliment to the person beside you. You know, those things, those lessons or classes are always seen as just being, oh, yeah, she's just doing that session today. But there's so much in that. That might be the only compliment that child has received all week.
Yeah, you know? But, you know, this is all within our power as well as adults. And you've set a challenge, really, for people on how to approach compliments.
Yeah.
And to observe the reaction to it. So someone says to you, your hair looks lovely today.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Well, my automatic reaction, I've just come out of the gym, it does not. But thank you for the compliment. You know,
well, I didn't say it did.
No, I know, Greg. I know. Yours is lovely as well.
Well, that's not a compliment, Maria.
But you see, this is... Does it
look particularly shiny? Does my... No, but my point is, but say in earnest, so I said to you out in the street, say, your hair looks lovely today. So they're all, it's like actually what you probably just did, right? Because to me, your hair looks really perfectly fine. But you actually fell into the trap, didn't you?
Yeah.
He says, no, it's not, because I was at the gym, or whatever you said.
And is it a trap? Is it a fear of a trap? I think that's an interesting word, actually, because are we afraid that if someone is giving us praise, that there's an ulterior motive to
possibly.
It. They possibly don't mean it.
Yeah.
You know, generally, if you're someone who gives compliments and who makes an effort to give compliments, I think you become more aware of how important it is to react to them in a certain way. I love giving compliments. It's something I do in my work every day, all the time in the gym. I'll say to someone, if I know especially that they have maybe been working on something in particular, and I'll say, God, you're looking great.
It just gives you a lift, you see.
It just gives you a lift. And but the reaction generally is, oh, I do not. Well, actually, you do.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's always really refreshing. There was one lady last week, and I think maybe that's the reason that I brought this one back up. I said to her, God, your arms are looking amazing, because I know that was one of her goals when she started with us about 2 years ago. And she turned and she said, I know, I'm so happy.
Yeah, brilliant.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That's winning at life.
And
right
conversely,
there, you know?
Too, I got up one morning and I felt great. You know, you look yourself in the mirror and I was like, you know, I feel really good. And I came into work and I sat down opposite Caroline for a pre-show meeting. And she says, geez, you're very tired looking. It ruined my day.
Oh, bless. But one comment can, you know.
We're so sensitive.
Yeah, we are. But one comment that is.
But if I was tired looking, I was going, oh, thank you for recognising that.
Yes.
Because so it would have worked for me. That it didn't mean anything bad, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't take any. But my point is we're very sensitive.
It's a ripple effect, isn't it?
And also, too, you've heard the comments, oh, he's full of himself.
Oh, absolutely.
So then people kind of want to sort of offset that a little bit, don't they?
But I do address that in the piece as well. You know, if someone is going to be negative about you, they're going to be negative about you, whether you're winning, losing, or it doesn't matter what you're doing. And that's on them. Like my very wise father always taught us to always remember who has the problem. That's one line that he has always, since we were wee kids, always instilled to this day, will say, just remember who has the problem. And I think if you're living your life where the person beside you's success is constantly making you angry, have a look at what's happening here.
Yeah.
It's not their success that's annoying you. It's maybe what you don't have or what you want to have, or there's some insecurity perhaps being highlighted. And we all do it. We all look at certain things and get annoyed by them. That's fine. But I think to understand that someone giving you some positive praise is something that you should say thank you very much. There's plenty of people that will try to tear you down.
But ideally, we want to empower ourselves, not to need to be reliant. And I can't remember what the... There was an old saying, and I can't even attempt it right, but effectively it was about your life, and it was coming from an older person, and those age brackets, so at a certain age, you know, you don't care what anyone thinks of you, so that's probably when you're young. Then at another age, you think the whole world is thinking about you, and then there's another stage, and finally, you're an older person, you realise no one actually cared at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, really what you need to do is you have to be able to give yourself compliments and feel good about yourself. Because if someone goes to get their hair done or the nails done or has a really good gym session, you can see them leaving in a different state of mind, right? So they've been able to do that to themselves.
Yeah.
Isn't that better than really waiting on someone to say something nice to you to try and make
you
feel, or to take you down, for that matter?
And like, you know, there's so many things now, the affirmations and all these different things that the world is telling us we have to do, that, you know, you should be looking in the mirror every day and saying, I am beautiful, I am strong. And there's an awful lot of research behind that idea of positive thinking. So why, when someone tells it to you, do we automatically like ping pong it away?
It's hard because I think, I don't know, it's a really interesting question. So, you know, if someone pays you a compliment today, say, oh, thank you very much, and then see what the person's reaction is. I feel sorry really for young people, and that sounds terrible, but I feel sorry for young people now with filters and what have you, in that, say, for instance, you are inclined to use a particular filter that gives you, you know, does something with your eyes and your teeth or whatever, and you get a lot of compliments on social media, or you look great and you accept those compliments, then there becomes a great deal of pressure in the real world. And that is something I don't think you had to deal with as a younger person, or I had to. And it's a whole layer on top of this as well, because there probably is a reality and a fantasy representation of ourselves out there.
But I think with all things social media, and I could talk about social media for days on end, it's learning to read it and learning to realise that what you're seeing is not real life. And even the people who are as real as possible online still show you what they want you to see. Filters, you mentioned, are a massive issue at the minute, even for adults. And I think what's also happening with social media is that the norms that we're setting for ourselves as normal are not normal. So if someone looks a certain way with a filter, that's not real life. If someone is posting how organized their fridge is and all this different stuff is going, this is how I live my life every day, although that's them, that's their choice, that's fine in their own home. But if you're looking at that thinking, oh, I'm not doing that, so I'm feeling, there's a problem there.
Yeah.
You know,
The caller says, Greg, often hear my wife being complimented for an example on something she's wearing, and her response is, this is in pennies, which is fine. And I get why people do that, but that's one of the examples you actually gave in the blog. Another caller says, yes, we all know that us Irish aren't good at taking compliments, myself included. If someone comments, ah, that's a nice top, they'd probably get the reply, ah, I've had this top for years, which you talked about, jeans as well. Or your haircut suits you, and I reply, oh, I'm fed up with it. Instead of just replying, thank you. Yeah, which is exactly what we're talking about. So there's an awareness of it.
There is, and I think we're becoming more aware as well of we mentioned those kind of social norms. It's putting yourselves under... It's becoming aware of what's in front of you as your reality, and the targets that you have in your own life and the things that you want to achieve in your own life. They don't have to be the same as the person that you're watching or following, or that you're listening to on the radio or watching on the TV. You mentioned about the children. You know, I do worry that age group have an awful lot to deal with, an awful lot to contend with. And with AI now as well, it's so difficult to know what's real and what's not real. Like, we were getting to the stage where what's in front of you in your hand and what you can see with your eyes in this room right now, that's all you can actually be sure of. And we're seeing that more and more and more. So that's another. But again, it comes back to that idea of being aware of it, being aware of these things and being able to read them, being able to be aware of them. But also just give compliments. If you know, it doesn't have to be to someone you know. And I'm the best in the world if I'm in a restaurant or a bar or in a bathroom or whatever, and you say, oh, I love your top, or I love your... Maybe nice. It's not that hard. Sometimes it's actually
broadly
just that
speaking,
simple, you know.
It's very hard, really, I suppose, to expect someone to love us, right, if we don't love ourselves. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If you don't love yourself, it's a lot to ask someone else to love what you don't be.
Yeah.
You know?
And for some people, it doesn't matter how much you compliment them or how much you tell them that they are one thing or the other. If they can't see it, there's nothing.
No, but then we're complex, because sometimes you look in the mirror and you go, you know, I feel great, man.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next day, you're looking. And for some people, it can get to a point where it's really, you know, damaging, that's something that needs attention. But then the other day, you can look at it and you think you're looking at a completely different person. It's just whatever way your mind is going.
I think it's important, too, to remember that, you know, even someone who comes across and says, oh, I'm good at looking at the positives, I'm good at those things, that doesn't mean that that's how they feel all the time. Like, people would say, oh, you're very confident. I still get nervous about doing things like this. I still get, but for me, I weigh up the, do I enjoy doing it? Am I making a point that I want to make? or do I be nervous for 5 minutes beforehand? And that's a choice I make. But no one ever is constantly happy all the time with everything about their lives. And if they are, I wish I could find the magic. I could bottle that and make a fortune, you know. But yeah, I think small steps, small things, being nice to people, make a compliment.
Use people's names. I think people also love to hear their name, which is, I called you Marie once by accident. But no, I think if people love, if you pay in a compliment, use someone's name as well. And it really will, you know, make them feel.
It's affirmation, isn't it?
Yeah, excellent.
Absolutely.
All right, Maria, keep it up. Where can people find your blog and the latest writing? Because we've kind of touched on it, but there's a lot in here for people
There's a lot in here.
And so to recognise as well.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, the people, they may not necessarily have read your blog, but they've sort of come back with the same sort of examples of how they bat away the compliments.
Yeah. Well, I was always writing as the S Mum blog. I stopped writing with the kids a few years ago and just kind of I left it for a while. I just parked it. So it's more of a lifestyle now, but I am still going to obviously talk about being a parent because that's what I am. I'm a mommy of two beautiful girls. But I do tend to dip my toe into it's just lifestyle, whatever I feel like rambling about. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's colourful. I'm trying to get back into it myself more as well. So I'm on Facebook is probably where you'll see the most regular posts at the moment on Living Out Loud, and then I also have a website that I'll be updating now shortly as well. So yeah, trying to get back at it.
All right, well done. Listen, great return if that was your first
thank
one
you.
Since
thank you very much.
Danny, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
You're looking well.
Yeah,
Danny,
and hello again. It's not been that long since we last spoke. February the 14th, Valentine's Day.
That's correct. I remember quite clearly. Right, okay. What's your view about us and our ability to take compliments?
Well, I thought the interview there was very interesting, and I was looking at it, and I can't take a compliment like at all, really, because we never used to get them as children. I don't know, just because of an Irish thing. You know, my mother and father were both Irish. But back in my day, or when I say like that, like in the 50s and 60s, even at school, nobody complimented you. That if you got something correct or done well, that they just expected that off you. You only got scolded when you did something wrong. So compliments was very scarce, like, you know. And I realise that now. So with my nieces and nephews, I've always sort of complimented them. When you know, just to give them sort of like self confidence.
Mm. You but make not, a conscious decision to do
like,
that.
You know, if,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, no. If they do something well, I say that's a good job because you see, I used to do like good. I still do good jobs, but you never got any compliments because it was just expected. The people, it wasn't harsh. Like my mother and father was very loving people, but they just expected you to pick it up straight away and do everything correctly.
Yeah.
You know, and as a youngster, you make mistakes. But then I find in life, like, that was going through school. But then when I left school and I was a young lad, like, I was very conscious of different things. Not like my body in a way, but my hair I used to be conscious of that because my hair was a bit unruly, like, you know. Even if now I brush and comb my hair in the morning, but when this wind comes, it sends it all over the place. I might as well not bother.
Does that bother you?
It does indeed. Yeah, because I like to be, you know, my relatives. They always used to look sort of like spick and span, but I looked, like a bit dishevelled. As my niece said to me one time, because I was doing the farming, I think I had different boots on, like working trousers, and they was tied up with rope. And she said, "What do you look like?" I said, "I look like a sort of farmer." She said, "You look like Compo." You know, I found that very funny. But that's it. I'm not self-conscious of my appearance that way. But as a youngster, like in my teens, my hair was very something I was sensitive about.
Say how you say, right, you didn't receive compliments as a young person. In fact, you were only spoken to when you were scolded. We all remember, you know, children speak when they're spoken to. Has that in any way damaged you as an adult? Not damaged in a... I'm not trying to say, you know, in a necessarily, you know, very, very bad way, but it has. Do you think it's affected you as an adult? and your confidence? Or
oh yes, it's impacted on my life a bit, yeah, because you know, you not self-conscious, but I am conscious of things like that. And I don't go around looking for praise or compliments, but there. And when I do get some now in later life, I get quite embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, the only time I've really accepted a compliment is when elderly men, unfortunately, that they've all, you know, because that they would have been familiar with my grandfather, and they said, "Oh God, you know, you've done that just like your grandfather. You work just like your grandfather." And I accept that compliment with pride. But anything else, if they say, you know, it's a nice appearance, I like your suit, I just get embarrassed with that.
Mm. Okay. Well, you shouldn't, Danny. You shouldn't. You should embrace your confidence.
No, it's not. I mean, because I'm not, like, totally self-conscious, you know, like I say about my hair. I've been cutting my own hair for over 50 years now.
Me too.
Because I got fed up with going to the barbers and paying them to cut my hair and make such a bad job of it that I had to come home and rectify it. So for the last 52 years, I've been cutting my own hair, which wasn't a problem for me during COVID. And also shoes. My father was a great lover of good pair of shoes, and so I am, like, and like to keep them in good order.
Good. Well,
but an expensive pair of leather shoes, you know, was too costly when I was younger. Mm. So I had to go and get the cheaper version. And if any of my friends found that I had the cheaper version, I would be slated, like, you know. It was all about aspiration, you know, sort of money and things like that.
Yeah,
you know, you're wearing more expensive. That's why I was pleased when you said about the charity shops, because I've done a lot of shopping in charity shops.
Yeah,
and
people will be
like
proud
that.
Of it now. Yeah,
just going into them.
I think so. When people pick up a bargain in a charity shop, it's a double whammy because they get a compliment and they're happy about that. But also, you know, they're donating to a charity. And for some reason, that seems to be like a shield that allows them to say, thank you, I do look great. Danny, listen, keeping it, thank you very much. We'll chat to you again. Young people seem to believe table manners are no longer relevant. A UK study by Censuswide has found more than three quarters of people over 16 think keeping elbows off the table is outdated nonsense, while a third use their phones at dinner. The mere utterance of such a statement, I can see on my screen here that Noel Cunningham briefly passed out, but he has recovered and joins us now. Good morning, Noel. How are you?
I'm very well, and a very good morning to you and your listeners.
As usual, you were the belle of the ball at the Bonington on Saturday night, looking fabulous, and I have to say, sporting a lovely pair of white shoes, which set off the entire outfit rather remarkably.
Well, what a splendid opportunity to celebrate somebody that I think is slightly, how shall we say, flowing under the radar. Moya Brennan is respected and loved all over the world. And she's won. I mean, when you think, forget about Broadway and New York and Hollywood, she's won every possible award and accolade that can be attributed to any international star. And to see her talk with such passion about her love of Donegal and her lovely mother, Baba Brennan, and her late father. It was a joyous occasion, and it has to be marked with enthusiasm and excitement because she deserves that.
Incredibly humble lady as well, at least that's the impression I got. I can't claim, I've interviewed Moya a couple of times, but certainly the way she holds herself, which is perfectly as well, though, it if you didn't know of her achievements, she doesn't give off that air of the contribution. It's the contribution he has to not just to music, but to culture and, you know.
Absolutely. And you are so right. I have seldom met someone of such renown and such note that carries her humility like a beautiful cloak. A gorgeous person, a lovely soul, a lovely family, beautiful son and daughter who have a lot of their lovely mum and dad's qualities. So a real cause celebre, lovely evening, and well done to the Donegal Association in Dublin.
And just finally on that, I mean, you know, Bono gets a bit of criticism in Ireland, but he's one of the biggest superstars in the world, packing out that new dome over in America, you know, internationally renowned, recognised. I thought he was never going to shut up in his praise of Moya Brennan on the night.
Well,
He went to town.
Wasn't it lovely?
It was absolutely unbelievable.
It was lovely. Now, Bono has been accused of being a bit like myself, tends to talk a little bit too much at times. And he didn't let us down, shall we say. But you know what? Behind all the beautiful sort of things he said and reading between the lines, you could see the respect and love he has. Yeah,
very clever. His language was very clever and it landed right on point. Obviously, you know, it was in his own inimitable way, but the points that he wanted to make were all there, landed there, talked of the change in the rules somewhat, where someone from outside of the county can now be a Donegal person. And it just set the whole, I think it was he referenced that. But anyway, it was, and it just set up the night really, really nicely. So lovely to actually be able to touch base with you on that, Noel, because it was just a lovely evening and just to recognise that. But talking about table manners, I'm confused on this one, right? Because you know what? I'm one of these live and let live types as well. Do you know what I mean? But you can't help but notice that sometimes you see people, I've got a son myself who, despite my protestation, struggles to actually use a knife and fork. Should I care?
You know what? I have this wonderful, wonderful sentence that I use when I'm discussing this with younger members of my family, my lovely nephews and nieces, and now their children, because their children are now coming of an age, my grandnephews and grandnieces, or rather I'm of an age. And I say to them, look at A, B or C, you take a girlfriend or a boyfriend out to dinner. Why would you bother if you want to spend the entire evening on your mobile phone, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on whatever? And may I ask you, do you think a girlfriend or a boyfriend is going to be very impressed if you're gobbling down your food, speaking with your mouth full, unable to use a knife and fork properly? And, you know, we have to have some basic standards. The lovely Fred Astaire, going back a lifetime ago, said, how do we expect our children to have good manners and how to conduct themselves socially when they see none of it in the home? Mm. And it should begin in the home, because my point is always this. I'm not an old fuddy-duddy. I think I'm quite cool for an old fella. That's the reason for putting on my sneakers with my beautiful McGee suit on Saturday night, to be real cool. But I say, there is nothing old-fashioned about doing things right.
Also, Noel, people might get mixed up in what we're talking about here, because people might think it's about class, or I don't recognize classes, by the way, but people might think it's about, you know, whether you're wealthy or you're not, what your background might. This is nothing, in my view anyway, it's got nothing to do with that. This is about, I suppose, you know, a celebration of the food, a recognition of it and respect for that, but also those in your company as well.
That, you know what, I really believe, Greg, that you've hit the nail on the head. We confuse doing things properly, conducting ourselves in a proper manner, turning up for an interview properly attired, knowing how to address someone, hold a door open. All of those things are nothing to do with class, but we kind of have that bloody inferiority complex that's all to do with class and upper class. What a load of nonsense, because I have been in the company of many so-called or so-titled upper-class people, and some of their manners left something to be desired. So it's not about class. It's about me instilling in my children and anybody I come in contact with by example that there's a better way of doing things and a nicer way of doing things. Otherwise, why would we set a table? Why do we look at things of beauty? Why do we sort of immerse ourselves in art and beautiful music? Those are the refinements that have come with evolution of man. And why should we now decide to start a retrograde process of going back to live in trees? I mean, for heaven's sake, it's pure common sense. Do things beautifully, do things nicely, and it looks and is so much better in a societal situation.
Lovely stuff. Noel, always a pleasure. Thank you so very much indeed. Have a wonderful Monday and rest of the week.
And to your listeners and to you, Greg, and your team, thank you so much.
Bye-bye, Noel. That's Noel Cunningham there. What do you think? 08660 25000. Now, on this morning's Monday Focus, we ask the question, are you looking to change career? But what is the best way to do it? Sarah Geraghty's Head of Careers at the Communications Clinic. Hiya, Sarah.
Hi, Greg. How are you? Good morning.
I'm doing fantastic. Great to have you on the programme. Right, OK. I was saying a little earlier on, it's really important, isn't it, that we present ourselves best, prepare ourselves best for the job interview process. But because there are actually those actually are stuck where they're at because they don't really want to go through that.
Oh, it's so much more common than we think. You know, I meet people all the time who are really capable. They've loads of great experience and they'll often say, I'm not going to go for it. And when you drill down into it with them, it's because they don't want to go through the interview process. But what I'd really impress upon people is that if you can prepare in the right way, you're putting yourself in a really, really great position, not only to do a good interview, but also to feel confident and prepared about doing it. You know, because I'd always say, Greg, confidence can't just be plucked out of the thin air. You know, you have to get it from somewhere. So a couple of the pitfalls that we'd see people make throughout my job in the communications clinic are that people prepare, but they don't prepare in the right way. So they might, for example, have put together a super CV and a great cover letter. But when it comes to the interview for, I was just listening to your ads there, you know, for the bus driver to be, you know, working car sales, to go in for a role in Donegal County Council. They've learned maybe their CV off by heart, but that hasn't put them in a position that you're doing every day, I suppose, which is going and talking like a human being out loud to another group of human beings, you know. So the first thing that I would say to do is you want to be really, really clear on what the job is and not just what the spec says, because sometimes the job spec can be a language of its own. But you want to be really, really clear on the needs of the people hiring. So the needs of that bus company, the needs of Donegal County Council. What specific skills are required? What will help them? What will add value to them? And then, Greg, your best friend is coming up with a bank of stories that's going to help prove to those people that you have the skills and the competencies and the experience and the attributes required.
And in the environment that we're in, you want to fix the problem for the person because, it can be difficult to hire at the moment. And if you really want that job, you have to also recognise, all right, you've got a problem and I'm the solution.
That's such a brilliant way of putting it. I put it like that. It's a job spec is often a set of problems and I'm going in to prove that I can solve your problems, or it's a set of needs. So how do I go in and address those needs? Mm-hmm. And Greg, that kind of comes to one of the greatest pitfalls that people make. They don't approach the job interview from the employer's point of view. They approach it from their point of view. So it's interesting that you say that, because I was talking to a vet a couple of weeks ago and the vet had all the qualifications and the academics that you would expect a vet to have, thank God. But when we drilled down into it, what they realized going for an interview in a rural practice was that the boss, the person in charge, was looking at retiring in probably about 10 to 15 years or less than that if they were lucky. And what they really wanted was someone who was going to be a safe pair of hands and that they could eventually pass this practice, which was like their baby, over to this new person who was able to build and maintain relationships with farmers in the local area and things like that. So absolutely, that's a set of problems. And you're going in to say, I know what your problems are. Let me help you solve them. Here's some evidence. Here's some stories to prove that I can do it for you.
Yeah, brilliant. It's common sense, but often this is the things that we overlook. These are the things that we overlook. Can we tend also to get together a decent CV and then sort of think that that's it, it's a finished product, rather than updating it, tweaking it, find out what might not be working, or even maybe tailoring it that it seems more attractive to the role that we are applying for?
Absolutely. So right, there's no point in me putting together a CV for Highland Radio and firing the same one out to Donegal County Council, to the insurance company in the area, and to a couple of cafes and restaurants in the same, you know, in Buncrana and Letterkenny, because they're going to look at it straight away and say, you know, do they know what we need? Do they know what our problems are? Do they know what our needs are? So absolutely, I would say your CV is always it's always a work in progress. And you should always be looking at adapting and tweaking it. You can absolutely get a master copy down, you know, where it it has basically the components that a good CV requires. But what I'd advise your listeners to do is have a little section at the top that you could call a profile summary, a professional summary, that has no more than 5 bullet points that are short and concise and to the point, that speak to Highland Radio, for example, and say that, you know, I'm flexible, I'm adaptable, I'm willing to learn. Or, you know, Donegal County Council, I understand that people in the local area are the heart of everything that we do, you know, but to have something at the top of the page that will immediately jump off the page. Because remember, everybody, people going through CVs are doing a lot of that, right? They're reading through a lot of CVs, and I want mine to be different to yours, and you want yours to be different to your best friends, and so on and so on. So have a piece at the top that isn't just your leaving cert and, you know, the jobs that you've done over the past 15 years, that it speaks to the job you're applying
for. Listen, we're top third conditioned now, whether it's, you know, the websites, social media, whatever. You need to hit us quick, don't you?
Also,
we were talking earlier on, and by coincidence, about confidence. You know, we were speaking to a lady behind a blog about how we're not really good at accepting compliments. So if you are that way, how are you going to sit down really and talk about how great you are? Because you might have doubts in relation to that. And I can imagine a lot of your conversations that you might have, Sarah, is finding people's positives, what they bring, how good they are. And you say, no, write that down. That's a really good thing. And they're like, oh, well, I didn't really. Do you find that you sort of have to tease that out of people?
Absolutely. And what you really have to do is more than just write it down, it's say it out loud. You know, Greg, I'm sure you're very familiar with the fact that you can't just think about what you're going to say when you come on air every day. You're going to have to practice. You're going to have to talk it out loud with the people that are around you in there. It's the same with job interviews. What I would say is, if you can match your evidence, so your objective facts to prove that you can do something. So, you know, in my last job in a restaurant, for example, I was communicating nonstop with chefs who were under pressure, with customers who required a high level service. That's your evidence. You match that with the talking out loud. And remember forevermore, everybody, that the only way to prepare for a verbal interaction is to prepare verbally. So if you can match those two things together, that's where your confidence should come from. Because let's face it, I mean, everybody has experience. You know, it doesn't have to be record breaking communication skills, but it can be, let me tell you about a time when there was something confusing that needed to be explained and I did it, or somebody was upset or irate and I was able to bring them back down and they were able to understand what I was saying. So the confidence, like I said, needs to come from somewhere. And that confidence for job interviews comes from your bank of evidence and matching that with your dedicated and willingness to speak out loud to yourself as much as possible. Get the muscle memory developed.
Have you any questions about the company? How important is that question? It seems to always be in there. And maybe people don't think, is it a place, a space where I can genuinely ask a question like, you know, will I get a promotion in 10 minutes? Or is that a test? You know, how do you answer that question if it's,
you know what, Greg, I actually think it's not a test. I do a lot of the work with the interview panels themselves. I think it's an unwise move in an interview, because what's going to happen, you're probably going to get people who have bought into the idea that you have to ask a question.
Yeah, for
sure.
You know, yeah. And you have to be a clever one. Or where do you see the company in 5 years? You know, and that's not what the question's about.
No, and but it's then also again, not proving my ability to do the job either.
But then, you know, if you go, no, actually I don't.
Yeah.
So is there a response? Do you say, no, actually, I think most of most of the questions I would have been covered in the course of the interview.
I think that's bang on. I think what you can do there is say, thanks a million for the opportunity. Just to reiterate, you need someone who's got strong communication skills, has an excellent ability to empathise with others and has a track record in project management. Just to remind you, I have all those skills built up over 10 years. I've no questions. Everything's been covered in the job spec in our conversations beforehand or whatever. Yeah, but I would certainly not advise anybody to go in and say, when am I going to hear back? Or, you know, is there a work from home day that I can choose myself? All of those things, they're probably not adding value to you as a candidate. And that's always the question to ask yourself. Is what I'm saying next going to add value to me as a candidate?
Do all the same rules apply for internal promotions? Or I just wonder, maybe people can be even maybe a little bit more lackadaisy because they think, well, sure, you know, I'm brilliant.
I've seen people devastated as a result of that. You know what? Also, Greg, I've seen internal panels devastated because they've known, you know, Sarah Geraghty is great. She's been doing this for 6 months. She's been filling in for Greg and she's done a brilliant job. And then she shows up on the day and she doesn't do a great interview. So my advice for internal promotions is not to take it for granted. I'd be preparing in exactly the same way. I would also have a really, really good think about maybe how I'm already perceived, you know, what I've been doing, what I've been bringing to the table already, but don't take it for granted because on the day, that panel has to treat you like the external candidates. Everybody has to have a fair shot at it. So don't take it for granted. That's my advice.
And have you any simple tips to control the nerves? But I think a good interview panel should be able to put someone at ease and understand that maybe, you know, them being nervous in that environment has no real consequence on the job they're, you know, they're applying for. So you would hope a panel does some of that work in that regard. Do you say, listen, sorry, I'm a little bit nervous, or how do you cope with nerves in that interview environment?
You're right. Let's just accept the panel will know you're nervous. I would always say, Greg, that I get nervous for people who aren't nervous, going for a job interview, going on radio, going to deliver a presentation. The interview panel should know, they're human beings. But what I would say, the first thing to remember is talk out loud to yourself as much as possible. That's probably the best piece of advice I could give to somebody when it comes to addressing the nerves. Secondly, I wouldn't bother saying I'm nervous. They'll know, and you don't want to diminish yourself before you start speaking. Have a glass of water at the ready and don't be afraid to use it. Make sure that you take a few deep, 4 or 5 deep breaths in and out before you go into the interview itself. And in the run up to it, like I said, build up that bank of stories, talk out loud to yourself as much as possible. And remember that if you have the experience and you've practiced it out loud and you're coming at it from the employer's point of view and not your own point of view, you're making sure that you're practicing then in a way that will allow the nerves to, you know, give you that oomph that you need to perform in the interview, but aren't going to impact your performance. So the nerves are nothing to worry about. In fact, we need them to perform.
Use them. It's the flight and it's the flight or fight. You know what I mean? Use them to your advantage. It's all in the same space. Okay, that's interesting. It. If anyone wants more information about the Communications Clinic, Sarah, what do they do?
So we have a lovely new website called communicationsclinic.ie, and we have a dedicated careers clinic website attached to that. If people check us out on LinkedIn as well, we're constantly updating our LinkedIn with advice and little nuggets like we've talked about this morning that should help people to get their minds in the right zone when it comes to interviews. But remember to build up your bank of stories, talk out loud to yourselves, look at the spec in forensic detail and understand what it is that person is looking for, and
believe in yourself. You know, believe in yourself as well. There's an awful lot of people there that would want to detract from yourself. You don't want to be doing it to yourself. Sarah, lovely. Okay. Thanks so much. Been lovely
Thanks
having
so
you on the program.
Greg.
Take care. That is Sarah Geraghty, Head of Careers at the Communications Clinic, helping you to prepare for an interview. Hopefully that was useful to some of you out there. Okay, let's take a break, back with the weather and some of your comments. Okay, Jonathan Bingham joins us on the programme now. Good morning, Jonathan.
How are you doing? Yes.
Good to have you on the programme as Chair of the Northern Ireland Amateur Astronomy Society. Right, what are we going to see this evening if we're lucky enough in terms of the partial eclipse from our perspective? Is it, Jonathan?
Yes, it is. From our location, it's going to be a partial eclipse. As the sun sets, the moon will be rising. So it will, and you'll just see the bottom of the sun with the moon coming up into it. And as it sets, you know, it's roughly about half an hour is the time. It's further west we are, which is Donegal, which favours Donegal the best. And over here, it's going to be in County Antrim, 23 minutes. You're going to see that effect if it's going to be clear. Now, the weather forecast is always against us. It's going to be raining here, so we won't see it at all. So the best chance will be in Donegal. If it's going to be kind of broken cloud, you'll see it, you know, out into the west, and get the high ground or out to the coast there if you can, or whatever.
So 7:55.
With a bit of luck, fingers crossed,
is
you might see something.
Yeah, 7:55 ish. About 7:55 PM.
Yeah,
is that
Yes.
Of course,
around about that. Just as the sun's starting to set there, you'll see it. Don't look directly at the sun. No. You know, if your sunglasses are, you know, or get a bit of paper and put a pinhole in, and then another paper to get the project the sun's image on deep. That's the safest way. Or if you've got solar glasses, that'd be even better. You know, but definitely don't look directly at the sun.
No,
but,
of course not. Now, in America, though, it's going to be going to be huge because there's millions of people descending to the part of the States that actually will see the total eclipse. I mean, it's a massive deal in that area.
I know. And there's people have come over from the whole length and breadth of Ireland, the astronomers here, amateurs, that went over to America to see it. So they've a few are in Montreal, you know, up in Canada, and Niagara Falls and Arkansas and all them sort of places. It's basically the lines from Montreal down through Dallas, San Antonio, Torino, Indianapolis. So it's basically the whole length of that there. Even the whole, like the United States, even in New York, you get 80% or 60%. So, and the further west you go, it's up in the States, it's going to be 60 and 40 and then 20. percent. But so you, anywhere in the United States will see it, but totality runs right the whole way through it, so it does, you know.
Right, okay.
I dare say there'll be big clouds out, or big crowds out there, so hopefully the clouds will stay away, but
they're going to have big crowds, you know. We're going to have big clouds, Jonathan, I think is the story of our lives, but you never know, we might get lucky.
I know.
Alright, listen,
we
Jonathan,
might get lucky, it's a story, it's same old.
Enjoy it. Thank you so very much. All right, take care, Jonathan.
No problem. Thank
Jonathan
you very much.
Bingham
okay.
there, who's chair of the Northern Ireland Amateur Astronomy Society. So around 7:55, and the way our beautiful county is, and all of the Northwest for that matter, is that some people will see it and some won't, because the weather... No, driving from Dublin yesterday and driving to Dublin the day before, it was like driving in 7 or 8 different countries, from storm, rain, driving rain, hail, glorious sunshine, rain, hail, glory. It was unbelievable the way it is. What a breath of fresh air. We need more Noel Cunningham. Well said, Noel. Yeah, well, we always love having Noel on the show. Can I just reiterate that everything Noel says is completely true? He is a complete gentleman. I've read his book cover to cover, and it was great. Okay, I don't have time for any more comments, so I'm going to carry them over to tomorrow. So thank you so much for all of you that have been messaging in the show. It's been lovely having you listening for the last 3 hours. Thanks very much. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9. But for me, Greg Hughes, Caroline Orr, who researched and produces the show, assisted by Shannon Wilkin, have a wonderful day. Stay tuned, because Michaela Clark is around the Northwest after we take a break for the news at 12.